With Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank, making a deposit, withdrawal, transfer, or payment each month will waive a monthly fee. Now if only some other annoying things could go away. Like wearing socks with sandals. Or people who spoil the endings of movies. Online lists that make you view them as a slideshow. Earphones that always get tangled up in your bag. Mounds of snow that don't melt from sidewalks until mid-June. See what else? Oh, cab drivers who say they don't accept cards when they really do.
What? The machine is busted.
Sure it is.
Introducing Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. Make a deposit, withdrawal, transfer, or payment each month and rid yourself of the monthly fee. Sign up today at santanderbank.com/simplyright. Qualifying transactions do not include fees, rebates, and adjustments posted by Santander. Santander Bank N.A. member FDIC.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Where's Obama's Birth Certificate Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, fellow birthers and constitutionalists. My name is Gary Wilmot. I'm reporting from California, and many of you know me as the purveyor of the blog Give Us Liberty, 1776.blogspot.com. I started the blog in June of 2009. To address primarily the issue of Obama's usurpation of the presidency and, of course, to educate the public on other issues of government corruption and deceit. And my blog's still going strong. It's been visited by people from more than 160 countries, and I've had nearly 3 million page views. And I hope that you'll take the time to check it out. In addition to blogging, I've been active in the eligibility fight on many levels, but I'm not going to go into that tonight. We have two really great guests that really need as much time on air as possible because they have so much information to give us. It's hard to believe that after 8 years, we still have an ineligible person in the White House. And not only has he not been caught for his crimes, but the Republican Party has actually upped the ante this year and has run three ineligible candidates, Cruz, Rubio, and Jindal, of course, two of which are still standing. It's truly incredible. I never would have thought that we would have been in this position today after 8 years in this fight. I'd like to thank Mike Voland for asking me to host this program this evening. This is a new experience hosting live on Blog Talk Radio, and I hope you'll bear with me as I get used to learning the ropes here. I've got Ed as my screener and my backup man here in case there's any hiccups. I'd also like to give a shout-out to Sharon Rondo of the Post and Email. Sharon is a good friend of mine. We've never met, but we've talked many, many, many times. I believe that she is an iconic figure in this effort, and I really don't know of a greater American patriot today than Sharon Rondo. I'm in awe of her energy and her integrity, her honesty, her dedication, her determination to stay the course in this fight. To reveal the truth about Obama and expose our complicit government and, of course, the irresponsible media. And special thanks goes out to the Birther Report. BR has been a lifeline for all those in this eligibility fight. He provides most of the updated information on this issue. I know Birther Report well, and it's no easy task to keep this going day in and day out. But we truly are experiencing a constitutional crisis, and it's important to educate the American people. I know that Obama's Where's Obama's birth certificate has a funding campaign moving on right now, and Mike Boland would like to thank all that have contributed. However, we don't have any important news to announce as we originally thought we would. We will be making an announcement in the near future with more details. By the way, WOBC is using a new email system, so please visit the site where'sobamasbirthcertificate.com and click the sign-up button there. So Americans today are really distracted about what's going on in this country, and the main reason, I believe, for the ignorance of so many citizens and the increasing number of low-information voters is that we have a complicit media that refuses to uphold principles of good journalism. It's a media with a left-wing agenda, and we have an educational system that has really dumbed down our kids and promoted a revisionist view of America's greatness and history. And I would maintain that they've also contributed to the degradation of family and moral values. And then we have, of course, the complicit government with our treasonous so-called representatives who absolutely refuse to do their jobs and uphold their oath to the Constitution. They don't serve the will of the people anymore. It's absolutely scandalous, and it's a shame that American people don't realize it. I've always said that 99% of politicians are in it for the three P's. That's perks, power, and prestige. Anyway, with regard to the show tonight, our topic is presidential eligibility clause in the United States Constitution and the term natural-born citizen. We're going to have a specific focus on Ted Cruz and his lack of constitutional eligibility since he's not a natural-born citizen. As I said, I'm honored to host the program, and I'm thrilled to have as my guests two icons in the eligibility movement, two American patriots who have fought long and hard for truth and justice and the preservation of our Constitution. My guests tonight are Charles F. Kirshner, Commander, U.S. Navy, retired, and New Jersey Attorney Mario Apuzzo. As for phone calls, I'm planning to take some calls perhaps in the last 45 minutes of the show. I can't say for sure, but please be patient. If you'd like to get in the queue early, just remember that there could be a bit of a wait because I do want to spend considerable time with Mario and Charles. The call-in number is 347-989-8853. 347-989-8853. And if you want to be heard on the program, you have to enter the number 1. As for my guests, brief background, Mario Apuzzo, attorney from New Jersey, obtained his undergraduate degree in political science from Wilkes-Barre University in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. He attended Temple University School of Law in Philadelphia and graduated with a JD in 1982. Mario continued postgraduate legal studies at the University of the Pacific, Sacramento, California, and at McGeorge School of Law. He's also had some education overseas in Milan and Austria, receiving a diploma in advanced international legal studies in 1983. Mario has been on the front lines of the natural-born citizen battle since November 2008. He's a true patriot and a gentleman, and is obviously well-known to most of our listeners as the attorney for plaintiff Charles Kirshner in Kirshner v. Obama. Commander Kirshner and others sued Obama, Congress and others, maintaining that Obama was not an Article II natural-born citizen and that Congress violated its constitutional duty to properly vet him and to prevent him from being president. The New Jersey Federal District Court dismissed the lawsuit, finding that plaintiffs lack standing, which I don't agree with, and because the question of the meaning of natural-born citizen was a political question. The court never reached the question of the meaning of natural-born citizen. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed on standing, and the U.S. Supreme Court refused without comment to review the matter. Mario has also been involved in other eligibility litigation and is also the author of a number of compelling essays regarding natural-born citizen, the Constitution, and the eligibility fight in general. Mario blogs at puzo1.blogspot.com, P-U-Z-O, the number 1.blogspot.com. Commander Charles Kirshner, U.S. Navy retired, is a resident of the state of Pennsylvania. Commander Kirshner served 33 years in the U.S. Naval Reserves as both a commissioned officer and as an enlisted man. He enlisted with the U.S. Naval Reserve in 1962, and in 1976, he was commissioned as a U.S. Naval Reserve officer, serving as a commissioned officer for 19 years. He was promoted to the rank of a full commander in 1992 and retired in 1995. Commander Kirshner holds a B.S. in Electrical Engineering and a B.A. in Economics from Lafayette College. Commander Kirshner took a solemn oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and feels it is his duty to support and defend the United States Constitution pursuant to that oath. Hence the court case Kirshner v. Obama. Commander Kirshner blogs at protectourliberty.org, protectourliberty.org. It's my pleasure to introduce Commander Charles Kirshner and Attorney Mario Puzo. Welcome.
Glad to be here. This is Commander Kirshner.
Mario, are you there?
Well, he must be in the.
His mic is live now. Thank you, Mario. You there?
Oh yes, yeah. My pleasure, Gary, to be with you and with your listening audience. This is Mario Puzo.
Very good. Mario,
and we
have
terrific. As you both know, one of the big topics of discussion in the last couple of weeks has concerned the eligibility of Senator Ted Cruz of Texas to run for president of the United States. Obviously, Mr. Trump has been credited with bringing the issue to the forefront, but I would say that it's rather ironic, and I'm sure you'll agree, given that your heavy involvement in the Obama eligibility issue, it's quite ironic that the leftist media right now has suddenly taken this topic up, and it's virtually a topic of discussion every day. Personally, I find them to be such hypocrites, but nevertheless, that's where we're at. I wonder if you would like to make some opening remarks about the Cruz eligibility issue. I'll go with you, Mario, first.
Yes, regarding the Cruz eligibility issue, it's very good that Donald Trump has raised it. He did the right thing to do that because clearly Ted Cruz is not a natural-born citizen, and there's a ton of information to go through, and Commander Kirshner and I hope that we'll be able to cover most of the information. But just quickly, just to get it going, Ted Cruz says that he's a natural-born citizen, and their newest approach is that he's a natural-born citizen under the English common law and the statutory law. Now they've thrown this together, where he qualifies under that type of approach. Then we see time and time again that he didn't have to go through naturalization after birth. He's a citizen at birth, doesn't have to go through naturalization. That's another argument. Then they use the argument of the 1790 Naturalization Act. They say that that makes him a natural-born citizen. Then they use the actual act that he relies upon in the 1952 Immigration and Naturalization Act, which defines a citizen of the United States, but they say, oh, it says at birth, so therefore I'm a natural-born citizen. And now we see this battle between the living Constitution and the original Constitution, or what is called originalism. So now they're trying to distinguish, saying, well, he might not be a natural-born citizen under originalism, under the original Constitution, but the Constitution is a living document, and it should bend with the times, with the needs of the times. So therefore, let's give him a pass, and he's a natural-born citizen. And I mean, again, I just wanted to throw this out as an opening, and then we can discuss many of these topics. Yeah. There's a lot to go through, and so that's where we are at this point.
Okay. Before I let Charles weigh in here with some opening remarks, I noticed that you mentioned the 1790 Naturalization Act, which was actually repealed. And the other comment I would make is that Ted Cruz, consider himself to be an originalist and a constitutional expert, and now he's completely conflating the terms natural-born citizen and citizen and adopting a non-originalist, living, breathing interpretation of the Constitution?
Yes. You know, it's interesting. First of all, on this constitutional construction rule, originalism versus living constitution, if somebody is going to argue the living constitution, they're telling you right there that the Constitution itself does not grant what it is that they're looking for, and that they're asking for some kind of an expansion of it. Now, the Constitution has a way to change it. It's called an amendment. Okay, so where do we draw the line between an amendment and this living and breathing Constitution? I mean, where do we draw this line? So, I mean, you know, the Constitution says what it says. The text says what it says. That's what you got to go with. Now, I know the natural born citizen clause it's not defined there, but there's a ton of information which I hope we'll be able to touch upon that tells us what the meaning is. So, this original Constitution, living Constitution, that's a fail. Okay, and then on the 1790 Act, you're absolutely correct. That was repealed. Okay, but not only was it repealed, but the language was actually amended. I know you don't need an amendment if you repeal something, but what's interesting is that in the 1795 Act, shall be considered as a natural born citizen, which was in the 1790 Act, and repealed the whole act and changed that particular language surgically. Removed it and said, shall be considered as a citizen of the United States. Now, that's very important, and, we'll get into a lot of different things, but because we got to also talk about Article 2, what it actually says and the language of it and the meaning. So there's a lot of information to go through, so hopefully we'll be able to get through it.
Absolutely. And before I turn it over to Charles for your opening remark, Mike Volin has a pre-recorded message that he wanted me to play early in the program, so I'm going to do that right now before I forget.
Hi, this is Mike Volin, and you're listening to Gary Wilmot on WOBC Radio Network.
Well, that was short and sweet. Okay, very good. Charles, what would you like to say in your opening remarks?
Well, I think we need to maybe educate a little bit the listening audience that the issues with Ted Cruz are that he was born in Canada to a non-U.S. citizen, foreign national, Cuban father, and an American-born mother. So like a three-legged stool test, he's for a natural-born citizen of being born in a country to two U.S. citizens, and those U.S. citizens could be either born or naturalized, but would be born in the USA to two U.S. citizens. That is a natural law in the originalist definition of a natural-born citizen. Ted Cruz cannot stand for president or commander-in-chief because he's missing two legs. If you want to believe Obama's narrative, he was missing one leg. He had a foreign national father. Ted Cruz is missing two legs. He's taking this whole thing a bridge too far in military analogies. But you've got to remember to the listening audience that the biggest issue here, in my opinion, that he's pushing it too far. He admits he's foreign-born, and now he's trying to argue that he's a natural-born citizen. And everybody remembers from civics class back in the 50s and 60s when you got it that you had to be born in the USA. Everybody understood that part. The part about the parents being citizens, well, that's was true, but you didn't hear as much about it. But you had to be born in the USA. Now, as far as the 1790 Act, now, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm a layman, and I've been studying this. When you repeal a law, when you totally repeal a law, to me, it's equivalent to like annulling a marriage. It didn't happen. It's gone. Nobody can retroactively go back and use that law. It's as if it was never on the books. They didn't supersede that law. They didn't amend that law. They totally repealed it, and that's in Section 4 of the 1795 Act, I believe, where it says it's repealed. Now, Madison and Jefferson were talking back and forth via letters back then, and they were saying this law, 1790 law, which was the first law passed by the new Congress, the new nation, was flawed and had serious problems and was going to cause major problems. They wanted it repealed, and that's what they did in 1795. And in both cases, George Washington signed it. They repealed the flawed law. It's as if it was a null and never existed, and nobody can retroactively go back and use a repealed law to justify their citizenship or natural born or whatever status. It's annulled, gone. It just never legally existed. Now, maybe Mario wants to clarify that, but that's my understanding of when a law is totally repealed.
Mario? Yeah, I'd like to add to that. Yes, it was totally repealed, and the title of it, first of all, it's a Naturalization Act.
Exactly.
Now, some U.S. Supreme Court say, well, you know, we don't look at titles. They don't count. However, if you look at the substance of the 1795 Act, in the substance of it, it refers to the title of 1790 as a Naturalization Act. So we have not only the title telling us that it was a Naturalization Act, we also have the 1795 Act telling us that it was a Naturalization Act. And the whole world knows that they were Naturalization Acts because Congress, that's one of the first things it did, was under its powers to make uniform the rules of naturalization throughout the United States, which is in Article 1 of the Constitution. They passed these statutes. But, I mean, there's so much information to really talk about, but I'm going to try to get to as much as possible. But
so Ted Cruz is a naturalized citizen if he's a citizen at all.
Yeah, he's naturalized at birth. He's naturalized at birth. But here's something very important on the 1795 Act. Okay, it says, shall be considered as a citizen of the United States. Okay, if you look at the rest of the Act, if you were born out of the country to alien parents, you could come here and naturalize. The statute says you shall be considered as a citizen of the United States. Now, clearly, that person wasn't even born a citizen. He was what we call today a naturalized citizen. Okay, that's what we call him in a general sense. Okay, so in other words, that person was being made a citizen after birth. And the statute calls him a citizen of the United States, says shall be considered as a citizen of the United States. Children that were born to people who were being naturalized. Now, it doesn't say in the country or out of the country. It's just general language with no exclusion. All these children, they were also considered as citizens of the United States, the same language. Again, these children were born alien. And then on the third category, if you were born out of the country to citizen parents, two citizen parents, not just one, you were considered as a citizen of the United States. Clearly, all three categories have the same nomenclature. And not only that, but Congress, with the lead of Madison, with the approval of Washington, said no more natural-born citizen, because that could have been misleading people. One last point on the 1795 Act. It was getting stronger. It was getting more tough, harder to become a citizen.
Another key point, Mario, was that the 1795 Act, which was a flaw of the 1790, introduced an oath of allegiance and a renouncement of foreign allegiances as a requirement. The 1790 Act would have let a person come into the country without renouncing their foreign allegiances.
Yes, and also titles of nobility. You had to give up your titles of nobility.
Right.
So what's happening is that in those 5 years, from 1790 to 1795, there was some immigration problem going on in the country. I know the French Revolution was going on there, and so what happens is Congress says, wait a minute, we got to tighten up. We don't want, any kind of foreign influence coming into our government. That's why, like Charlie said, you got oaths, you got renouncing titles of nobility, and also now you have to declare, you have an intention before you become a citizen, where in the 1790 Act you didn't have to declare an intention. You were here 2 years and boom, you went before the court and you got your citizenship. But no more. So everything is consistent, and Congress says, wait a minute, and let's also straighten out this thing about this presidential eligibility. You know, people might think that if you're born abroad, that you're eligible to be president. No, we're going to make it clear that you're not. So therefore, that's when they change the language. So it's all consistent with getting stronger, getting more protective, keeping out foreign influence from the United States, making it harder, to naturalize, and of course protecting the office of president even more.
And
clear.
And who was And who was James Madison in history? He's considered the person who wrote the Constitution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the thing is about, and he wrote letters back and forth to Jefferson, back and forth, admitting that their first attempt at writing a law on naturalization was full of errors and it had to be repealed. Not amended, not fixed, repealed.
All right, one other point. One other point. And they don't talk about this with Cruz. They keep this, you know, hidden. Under our immigration and naturalization laws, whatever act is in effect when you're born, that's the one that you have to go by. Okay, so if you're born in 1800 or 1950, whatever law is on the books at that time, that's the one that applies to you. Now, Senator Cruz was born in 1970. Okay, how in the world does he want to use a law from 1790 to try to make him a natural born citizen? That's totally contrary to settled law. Okay, number one.
Well,
number two.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and number two, the law that does apply to him, the 1952 Act, that doesn't say that he's a natural-born citizen. It says a citizen of the United States at birth. So he's out completely on any kind of statutory analysis. He's out.
Absolutely.
All the old acts and the one that he's relying upon.
And at Attorney Madigal, use a 1790 law in that latest CRS paper, that guy is a scoundrel. He should have his license taken away. He misquoted what Wong Kim Ark said, and he's using a law that was repealed to justify who's a citizen at birth, a natural-born citizen. Unbelievable. Attorney Maskell with the Congressional Research Service. Terrible writing. Terrible.
Yes.
Hey, gentlemen. I want to keep the discussion moving along, and I want to play some clips during the next half hour or hour, clips from Mark Levin, the arrogant, blustering, egregious, treasonous, supposed
bully.
Constitutional
bully.
Expert who rants. He totally rants and blusters. He's obviously in Cruz's camp, and he's distorted everything. I would like you to listen to this clip. It's about a minute long, and then comment.
Before you run that, I have contacted Mark Levin repeatedly to debate one-on-one, equal time with Mario Puzo, Attorney Puzo. He never answers me. He's a chicken.
Well, let me just address that. I have a transcript in front of me of from January 6th of this year, and
I saw the challenge, and I contacted Mark, and he's a chicken. He didn't respond.
He said, I'm prepared to debate any so-called legal scholar, professor, serious commentator, or candidate on this particular issue on the air. More than happy to do it. You see, it's not just a matter of an opinion. You have to understand the Constitution. You have to understand the nature of construction. You have to understand a little bit of American history. So that makes things complicated for liberals and knee-jerkers. But I'm more than happy to debate this issue with anybody who says that an American citizen born of an American citizen mother, wherever that citizen is born, is not eligible as a natural citizen, as a naturalized citizen to run for POTUS. Well, he even conflates his terms, and he's a mess. Let me play this clip for you, and then I want to hear your comments, because it relates to what you were talking about, the 1790 statute, okay?
Cruz is certainly not the hypothetical foreigner who John Jay and George Washington were concerned might usurp the role of commander-in-chief. Here's the practical problem, in addition to all this. Do you think any court in the land, any court, because you have to adjudicate this, right? Do you think any court in the land is going to say, you know what, you were born of an American citizen mother in Canada, therefore you're disqualified? There's really no historical basis for this. And actually, I could have added to this piece.
Listen.
You look at the 1790 Naturalization Act, which had some very terrible things in it, by the way. Cruz would qualify under the 1790 Naturalization Act. And there were a lot of founding fathers involved in that act.
Comments, gentlemen?
Lie.
Yep.
Lie. Well, the 1790 Act said parents. You didn't say a mother,
correct.
One parent, a parent. It said born overseas of parents shall be considered as, not is a natural born, shall be. So it says, you know, it's like he's totally screwed up. He knows what he's doing.
Well,
He's dissembling to the public.
He's also hanging his hat on the 1790 statute.
Yes. Which is repealed. It doesn't exist anymore. It's annulled.
Exactly.
It's gone. It never...
Right. Now, some might argue, well, even though it's repealed, it shows what the intent was. But that's totally ridiculous. Why? Because if you want to talk about intent, then the 1795 Act also shows intent. And the 1790 Act had a plural. It shows that Congress was not intending to say that these children born out of the United States were natural born citizens. So if you want intent from the 1790 Act, you got intent from the 1795 Act, which is it's more strong because it comes after it. So that whole thing about, oh, well, you know, it shows us what happened. And this hypothetical foreigner thing, that's absolutely absurd because, first of all, the foreigner, the natural born citizen clause tells us who a foreigner is. It's anybody who doesn't qualify as a natural born citizen. Okay, minor said that if you were born in the country to citizen parents, you're a natural born citizen. All the rest of the people were aliens or foreigners. Now that's under the common law, and the English common law was the same. They said either you're a natural born subject or you're an alien. Now their natural born subject, that was a looser term. They called everybody a natural born subject, so that doesn't really help. But if you look at the American common law, which adopted the law of nations definition, if you weren't a natural born citizen, you're a foreigner, and the only way you could become a citizen was by naturalization, and that's exactly what happened. So Jay in Washington, yeah, if you're not a natural born citizen, you're a foreigner. So and that's exactly what Ted Cruz is. If there were no Naturalization Act, Ted Cruz would be an alien or a foreigner.
What about the Citizenship Act of 1934, Mario? Prior to 1934, he couldn't even be a citizen.
Right. Yeah, well, with the 34 Act, it allows mothers to sponsor, so to speak. You know, sponsor
these
children.
Transmit her citizenship. Prior to 1934, the mother could not transmit her citizenship.
That's right. However, you have to be careful with this because we had the 14th Amendment, which was passed. So anybody's going to argue, oh, well, you know, equal protection, if it was good for the father, today it's good for the mother. Okay? And I'm willing to concede that. I don't think we're going to be able to argue, oh, it's got to be the father because they said the father. Okay, but that doesn't help. That doesn't help Cruz because
but that's only basic citizenship. Basic citizenship. That's all.
It was two parents, not just one. Okay,
right. And even the 14th Amendment just made you a citizen at birth, not a natural born citizen. Natural born is not in the 14th Amendment.
No, yeah, but I'm not talking about the 14th Amendment. I'm talking about the 14th Amendment has equal protection. That's what I'm talking about with the 14th Amendment. Equal protection.
Right.
In other words. You know, today, under today's standards, we're not going to be able to argue, oh, it said father, and therefore it's got to be the father. That would never fly, okay?
May I interject a minute? My point about mentioning the 1934 statute, it shouldn't be lost on you. The fact that there was an existing statute on the books prior to 1934 that precluded Cruz from being a citizen, if he had been born under the same circumstances as a 1970 birth, the fact that such a statute exists shows that it's statutory laws, the evolution of statutory laws under Article 1, Section 8, the enumerated powers of the Congress to enact naturalization statutes. So therefore, the Constitution hasn't changed. You know, so how do they all of a sudden, you know, they make themselves eligible in 2016? When they couldn't have been eligible in 1933.
Well, you can argue that the Constitution did change because of the 14th Amendment. With equal protection, you can argue, well, you know, okay, they said the father
then.
Yeah,
but equal protection for what? Equal protection that he would have been born a citizen. He still wouldn't have been a natural born.
Oh, of course. No,
right.
No, I'm only dead. No.
I mean,
that's why I said you need two parents.
Know that.
First of all, you've
got to
be born in the country. first of all.
Right.
So he's not born in the country. Plus, you needed two parents. Okay?
Right.
See, the confusion that comes in is with this 34 Act, where it allowed the woman to have their own citizenship. Fine.
Right.
That's perfectly fine. But that doesn't amend the Constitution. The Constitution
Correct.
Required two parents. It required two
right.
parents.
And my point is that the meaning and definition of natural-born citizen has never changed. What changed
Correct.
In 1934? What changed in 1934 was just another naturalization act that allowed the mother to now confer citizenship. The natural-born
right.
citizen definition never changed and never has changed.
Right.
Well,
that's
you know what
natural
else happened?
Law. That's
what else happened is that it actually made it harder for somebody to be a natural-born citizen, because before, a woman only had to marry a citizen husband, and she automatically became a citizen. So she didn't have
Cold
to naturalize on her own. So it was easier to have natural-born citizen children. See, when women were given their own naturalization, now they got to go out and naturalize. They got to do all the steps and the process and so on and so forth. So it actually made it harder, not easier.
Right.
Another point for the listening audience. Another point for the listening audience, I think, that needs to be said, is that in the U.S. Constitution, the only power Congress has is to create naturalized citizens. They cannot create natural-born citizens. Correct.
Correct. Correct.
That's correct.
Natural-born citizen doesn't. Natural-born citizen isn't. Is it doesn't come from man-made law anyway.
It specifically says in the Constitution they shall have the power to naturalize. They don't have any other
right.
power. Congress cannot
right.
do anything but make naturalized citizens at birth or later as an adult.
As to citizenship. Let me play you another very, very short clip of Levin. It's more for laughs than anything else, and you can comment. I want to see if you catch this, guys. I'm sure you will.
I want to throw this issue out there. Ready for this one? Uh-oh, here it comes. You know Ted Cruz, Mr. Producer? You've heard of that name? A senator from Texas? He's an American citizen. A naturalized American citizen. He could
yeah.
run for president of the United States.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
So what do you think of that? The great
naturalized American
Trump.
Citizen can run for president.
Yes.
What a bunch of horse
yes.
crap.
Yeah. He actually said it in his own words. He actually said it. And you know what? The first part was right.
That's what
he's
they call a Freudian slip. He knows he's
exactly.
lying.
Yes,
a Freudian
exactly.
slip.
Exactly, Charlie.
Yes.
I was going to say the same thing. That's a Freudian slip.
I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. He actually said that on air. And that part was true.
Boy, it's hard to keep the facts straight when you're lying, isn't it?
I know. Let me play one other clip for you, and then we'll get into more discussion.
What has never been a secret? Ted Cruz was born in Canada. Oh, my God! But does that mean that Cruz's presidential ambitions are gummed up with marble syrup or stuck in snowdrifts, altogether different from those plaguing the Iowa caucuses? Are the birthers now hoist on their own petards, having been unable to find any proof that Obama was born outside the United by forcing their comrade in boots to disqualify himself by releasing his Alberta birth certificate? No, actually, it's not even that complicated. You just have to look up the right law. It boils down to whether Cruz is a natural-born citizen, quote-unquote, of the United States, the only class of people constitutionally eligible for the presidency. You see, the Founding Fathers didn't want their newly independent nation to be taken over by foreigners on the sly. So what's a natural-born citizen? Well, may I add this? It's not in the column. Seems like every jerk with access to Google has decided where the natural-born citizen is. And they insist that everybody agree with them. But the Constitution doesn't say. But the framers' understanding, combined with statutes enacted by the first Congress, indicate that the phrase means both birth abroad to American parents in a matter regulated by federal law and birth within the nation's territory regardless of parental citizenship. The Supreme Court has confirmed that definition on multiple occasions in various contexts. Oh, my God! It's true. Wait a minute. We have a meeting scheduled in my mother's basement to go over this. And we're gonna post a lot of comments on the Mark Levin social sites. Let me continue. There's no ideological debate here. Harvard Law professor Lawrence Tribe and former Solicitor General Ted Olson, who were on opposite sides in Bush v. Gore, among other cases, co-authored a memorandum of March 2008 detailing the above legal explanation in the context of John McCain's eligibility. Recall that McCain, lately one of Cruz's chief antagonists, was born to U.S. citizen parents serving on a military base in the Panama Canal Zone. In other words, anyone who is a citizen at birth, as opposed to someone who becomes a citizen later, that is, naturalizes, or who isn't a citizen at all.
Okay, so what are your thoughts about
three
that?
Three quick ones. Oh, my God, Canada is a real friendly country. But, oh, my God, what if Ted would have been born in Cuba or Saudi Arabia or Iran or somewhere else? It would be a lot different, I think, if the people had a candidate running who was born in Iran. Second, the Supreme Court has never confirmed either or born in the USA or citizen parents. It's always only acknowledged the union of the two. Born in the USA of two citizen parents, and I lost my third point, so I'll defer to Mario, but there was a third point. Even in that discussion, he said parents. He never said parent. You know, it's
exactly.
the guy is dissembling continually.
Yep.
This is all about allegiance and who's going to be in command of our military. They wanted a person with sole allegiance at birth, and Ted Cruz was not born with sole allegiance. And that's why we in the military are worried about things, because look at what Obama has done to the military.
Well, speaking of what people have done, people like Mark Levin with an audience of 10, 11 million listeners on the radio, when they spout this stuff and he purports to be a constitutional expert, look at the damage it does to our cause.
Exactly.
If I may, Gary, I'd like to address that. First, hoist on our own petard, the birthers, okay? First of all, who's hoisted on any petard are those who argue that Barack Obama is a natural-born citizen because of the English common law. Okay, first of all, let me be clear. The English common law does not define an Article II natural-born citizen. However, the English common law required birth within the king's dominion and subject to his jurisdiction. That made you a natural-born subject. If you weren't born in his dominion, you needed a naturalization act in order to make you either to give you rights, okay, or later on they actually called you a natural born subject. Now, if you start back to 1350, it was the first act that was passed by Congress. It only gave you inheritance rights. It didn't even call you a natural born subject or anything. It was all just for the purpose of inheriting. Then you go through the centuries. Because of the king had these long wars in France and these kids were born over there, so they figured, oh, military, we're going to make them also inheritable. In other words, they could inherit. So it was all, you know, the king's children, they were born outside the country. They were subjects, ambassadors, children born in the armies. And then later on, this is all written by Blackstone in his commentaries. Later on, they opened it up to merchants because there was, you know, a lot of more commerce. So their children were considered as natural born subjects. So that was the. But what happens is again the common law said no. If you don't have a statute that naturalizes you, and there was no question that these were naturalization acts, you were an alien. So now, having made that argument, now they're stuck with Cruz. They're saying, oh my God, what do we do? What do? We can't just say it's the English common law because, you know, we're screwed. So what they invent now is, oh, wait a minute. You know, the statutes, the parliament statutes, that's also part of the common law. Ridiculous argument, because either it's the common law or it's not. A statute either abrogates it, it abrogates it or just creates a whole new rule. It doesn't become part of the common law. So that's a ridiculous argument. So that's why they're doing that. So they're hoisted by their own petard, saying that it was the English common law. So he fails. Cruz fails under the English common law. And then, like Charlie said, the U.S. Supreme Court never said any such thing as Mark Levin says. First of all, it's always been born in the country to citizen parents. And as far as anything else goes, if you look at Wan Kim Ark, which cites to Horace Binney, okay, says if you're not born in the country, you're not a citizen unless Congress makes you a citizen by a statute. Okay, that's Wan Kim Ark, Horace Binney. You have the same thing said by Montana versus Kennedy. That's a 1961 case. You've got Rogers versus Belli. That's 1971. Mm-hmm. You got Miller versus Albright, 1998. So all these cases say if you're not born in the country and you're born out of the country, you're an alien unless Congress makes you a citizen through a naturalization act. Okay, so Mark Levin is way, way, way wrong. As far as McCain goes, now, they're using this McCain thing, and they're also using born abroad to diplomatic parents. What they're doing is they're saying, oh, if Cruz is not a natural-born citizen, then neither is McCain and neither are some members of Congress because they were born abroad, either like one is born in India and some other places, but their parents were diplomats, okay? So what the point is this. If you're born abroad to military parents like McCain, or
in the service of your country, of your country,
you're serving
by
your
orders.
Right. You're serving your
like
country, okay? And or if your parents are in the diplomatic service of some sort, and you're born abroad, you're a natural born citizen because you're reputed born in the United States. So
natural law, as written by Amir B. Littell, the principles of natural law or the law of nations. And that was what the founders and framers were writing, and it's one of the key treatises and sources of information they used to justify the break with England and to write the founding documents, that and the Bible. That is historical fact. They were reading Amir D. Battelle's Principles of Natural Law, and in there, Volume 1, Chapter 19, Section 212 defines explicitly what a natural-born citizen is, and I believe that's where John Jay got it to send it to Washington. And Section 217 outlines the exception, another one being born in international seas under the flagship of the United States. But 217 says if you're in the service of your country overseas by orders of your country, in the military or diplomatic corps, you are considered to have not quit your country. And that argument could have made by McCain, but they didn't because they didn't want to introduce Vattel. They're hiding Vattel.
Sure.
The other point I forgot was about Wan Kim Ark with the Masco paper. He says Wan Kim Ark declared in the holding Wan Kim Ark was a natural born citizen. That's an outright misstatement of what the decision was, the holding was. It says that he's as much a citizen as a natural born child is a citizen.
That's right.
Now, that's like saying a blue Chevy and a red Ford are both cars, but is a blue Chevy a red Ford? No. Now, Mario can expand on that, but the holding did not declare him a natural-born citizen, correct?
Yes, that's correct, Charlie. You're absolutely correct.
So Maskell is lying in his CRS paper when he says it. I'll say lying because I'm not a lawyer and they don't have to go after me. I'll use that word. He's outright lying to the American people and the Congress.
The whole media is lying to us on this issue, basically.
Yeah, but
Maskell
was the attorney for the Congressional Research Service. He should be disbarred for that, for misquoting law.
That was Charlie. Charles, you know darn well that was partly done to cover for Obama. You know, as much as anything.
And that's why they want to get voices. They want Canada to be okay in case it turns out Obama wasn't born in Hawaii.
Right, and you know what my personal opinion is? If the guy went around for 16 years saying that he was born in Kenya, I'm going to go along with Kenya until somebody shows me proof that he was born in Hawaii.
Something very important has to be said. A last comment that was made by Levin about naturalization, And this is a, mm-hmm. this is an argument that's made by Obama's supporters. They go over this time and time again, and now they're doing it with Cruz. They
yeah,
have their own definition.
Obots and Cruz bots.
Yeah.
Right, Meryl?
Yeah, they have their own definition of naturalization. Okay, now naturalization is when you take anybody who's an alien and you make them a citizen. Now that could happen at birth or after birth, and Congress has that power. They've exercised that power since 1790. That's naturalization. What they do is they've twisted this definition of naturalization, and they say, oh, naturalization is only if you become a citizen after birth. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's not only after birth. So that's what they use. They say, oh, well, Ted Cruz, he became a citizen at birth, so therefore he's not naturalized. If he's not naturalized, there's nothing that he could be other than natural born. You see? So what they do is they bootstrap. They bootstrap a natural-born citizen by giving us their own definition of naturalization. It's a fallacious argument because naturalization can occur at birth or after birth. And even under the English common law, they naturalize at birth. Vattel in Section 214, he defines naturalization. He tells us that England, they automatically naturalize you when you're born in the king's dominion if your parents are aliens. They naturalize you. If you go back to Calvin's case, 1608, if you look at all the arguments that were made there by the court, okay, clearly naturalization at birth, that's what they did. They naturalized Calvin at birth. I mean, there's a slew of evidence showing naturalization at birth. So it is naturalization, but that's one of the fallacies that they use to try to fool everybody as to what a natural-born citizen is.
Well, let me interject.
Did you also read in Caskill's paper that he said that native-born citizens are a subset of natural-borns? That's what he argues. That's what he argues that native-borns are a subset of natural-borns instead of natural-borns are a subset of native-borns. You could be native-born and not be natural-born. You see what I mean? But that's what
he's correct.
He did that in his paper using the modern connotation of native-born.
Yeah.
And he's actually convoluting basic logic and set theory. The guy needs to get his license pulled and send him back to school to learn logic.
By the way, that's another...
I read that memo and I said, this is political witchcraft.
By the way, that's another voice by their own petard.
It's the same with the Harvard Law Review.
They yell and scream, native, 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 look, native, native. If you're a native, you're a natural-born citizen. Native, right? They kept screaming and screaming native. Now, all of a sudden, with Cruz, well, native really doesn't mean born in the country. It also means born outside the country. So you talk about voice by your own petard.
They ignore that Vattel defined what he meant when he used the word native. Right after,
native has the same meaning as natural-born citizen.
Right. Indigenous meaning native and naturel meaning natural. He defined
it.
Born in the country of parents who are both citizens. Well, that's paraphrasing what he said. But
although later on, because of the 14th Amendment, to distinguish between a citizen at birth and one that was naturalized, they started using that word native to indicate that you were born a citizen. So they called native-born. Okay, but traditionally... Under the framers' definition, even Minor says native, comma, natural-born citizens, and then it defines it. It has the same meaning. It means born in the country,
Venus,
citizen parents.
The Venus 1814 case, they quoted that part, that translation of Vattel. They used the natives and indigenous. They didn't use it in Minor versus Happer said that's when they used the word natural-born. And the other thing they try to do, they try to say that the framers and founders did not read French, and if they did read French, they didn't interpret it correctly. They didn't interpret that phrase to mean natural born. When we have information in the Continental Congress where they translated naturels to mean natural born, they translated the first French word naturel in communications to be natural born. So we knew that the American English translated naturels to be natural born. Maybe the English version, they changed it to natives, but the Americans understood it to mean natural born, and it's our Constitution. The English didn't write it. We broke away from them. We don't want anything to do with our natural, with our common law at the national level. Local, state law, yeah, but not at the federal level. We look to the new law, natural laws, principles of natural law, the Enlightenment of Europe, and Emir de Vattel was the greatest writer of that time, and probably for the first 100 years of this country was looked to help us form our own common law. Mario can go from there or not.
And we only adopted the English common law in the states, and only if it was consistent with Republican principles. Okay, they didn't have an elected president, you know, who stood to be voted, and also they allowed their kings to be born in foreign lands, which was a heck of a mess. I mean, the people went nuts over that because you had these foreign kings imposing, you know, bringing in all their foreign people and running things in a foreign way. The English were going nuts over that. We didn't have that. We had a president elected by the Electoral College, but had to keep out this foreign influence. So I don't see where they try to bring the English common law into this that had this broad notion of allegiance. The king made everybody his subject because he's looking for bodies. He's looking to make the empire.
Yeah.
You know, but he's not concerned about allegiance. My God, under the English common law, if you thought bad about the king, they executed you. You know, it's but
this
the king
is,
was just
gentlemen?
You know, they went through the
one other quick point, if I can make it real quick. They always talk about that Vattel's principles of natural law or law of nations. That's a body of law about international relationships. That we didn't look to that. Well, we certainly did because the 13 colonies were 13 independent nation states, and they were trying to unite, and they wouldn't have looked to English common law to write that constitution. They looked to a body of law called the Law of Nations, which are universal principles that would apply to all 13 state nations to unify them to make a more perfect union. Now, that's why we look to the principles of natural law and the Law of Nations. Correct, Mario?
Yes, right. Yes, you're absolutely correct. They use the law.
Let me make a point. I'm gonna make a couple comments and then take one phone call right away. I would strongly suggest that if Mark Levin and anybody for that matter who was serious in understanding the Constitution and the eligibility clause, if they would just take the time, like Mario, you mentioned all these, you know, you mentioned several statutes. If they would just take the time to objectively look at the rich history of U.S. citizenship law, the answers to the entire eligibility issue and natural-born citizen are right there. It's right there in the entire history. It's
somebody
right there.
Send a copy of this show to Mark Levin and say, listen to it.
Yeah, well, and then my other comment is something that I wrote down and I'd like to read because at the beginning I was a little confused. It's a study that was done in 2012, and I don't have the information. I'll get it if somebody wants to email me, and I can get the information. But there was a quote in there, and the gentleman that wrote it, it was American. It comes out of Switzerland. It says, although those Americans who acquire their citizenship under statutes conferring citizenship on the foreign-born children of citizens are not popularly thought of as naturalized citizens, the use of the word naturalized in this way has a considerable constitutional history. Congress is empowered by the Constitution to establish a uniform rule of naturalization under Article 1, Section 8. Anyone acquiring citizenship solely under the exercise of this power is, constitutionally speaking, a naturalized citizen.
Exactly what I just said, right? Yeah, I agree 100%.
Okay, I'm going to take a call from Chris Strunk.
Hi, Mario. Hi. Haven't talked to you in a long time. You know, when I heard Cruz use the sophistry, the same sophistry that Judge Schack in my state case used against me, where if you take the various types of overlapping combinations of naturalized and natural-born parents, he said that Trump, because Trump's mother was born in Scotland, he couldn't possibly be a natural-born citizen. Now, this is exactly, I was so glad to have met
That's
you.
Baloney, that was baloney because she was naturalized before he was born.
Well, no, she became a naturalized citizen in 42. But
before Trump was born, so...
Cruz was arguing that you need natural-born parents in order to be natural-born, which is exactly...
But that's circular logic, Mr. Strunk, because well, if you have to have natural-born parents, you can never have a natural-born citizen because they never will have a natural-born citizen.
I'm telling you what this corrupt judge did in my case.
Yeah.
Now, you can listen
logic.
And not listen. I was so happy to have Mario come in and take on this judge. The guy's corrupt. He deserves to be hung publicly in the public square. The point is that Cruz is corrupt, and I've started to look at who he is, and there's a lot more dirt on this guy, and it goes back to the CIA. And I'm just happy, Mario, that to have met you during that process, and that certainly the Venn diagram on what it means to be a natural-born citizen. When you have two naturalized parents, you have one natural-born and a naturalized, or two natural-born parents to be a natural-born citizen. All of this goes to Roman law. There's four different types of citizenship. One is Egyptian, one is Assyrian, one is Greco-Roman, the other one's Stone Age. The British have an Assyrian form of monarchy. It's not Greco-Roman. So I totally reject a whole monarchy structure, which is Assyrian. And I totally reject Mark Levin and his old National Council for National Policy. The guy he's an abomination. Anyway, I was so happy to hear you were on tonight, and I thank you for years ago coming to my assistance in state court in New York.
Yes,
thank you.
I know exactly what you're saying. Just so if it's not clear for everybody, Cruz said, oh, to Trump, your mother was not born in the United States, okay, which is completely unnecessary. The parents have to be either a citizen of the United States or a natural-born citizen. And like Charlie said, his mother was naturalized before he was born, so therefore, she was a citizen. That's all you need. But what Chris is saying is that the judge in his case was sanctioned and, did all kinds of things with him because misstated the argument, said that Chris was arguing that the parents have to be born in the United States, and then the judge had a field day with that. He set up a straw man and full of straw. And then, of course, anybody who argues that is doomed because how many presidents' parents were not born in the United States. So, it's a straw man. So
Mario, this is Gary.
Yes.
There's no question in my mind that Ted Cruz did that in the debate just to muddy the waters and create all sorts of confusion.
Exactly.
And confusion reigns supreme because all you had to do is see the media reports afterwards about how Ted Cruz cleaned Trump's clock and he showed him, that he knew the Constitution and everything like that. The propaganda machine was in full force, and Ted Cruz supposedly won that debate. Ted Cruz just muddied the waters and made things, difficult for the American people to figure out what's going on. I'm going to take
it. He's a real louse. Like, he didn't know he was a Canadian citizen. Can you believe that?
Ted Cruz, originally, when I first saw him on the scene, I agreed with a lot of things he said. But I realized that he and Marco Rubio are two of the slimiest politicians out there. I'm going to take a call from Sergeant Jeff Larson.
One more quick point before you take the call. The natural-born citizen clause, natural-born citizens are the children of citizens that have matriculated in the American culture. The parents can come here as aliens, get naturalized, have children. After they're naturalized, those children are raised in this country. They are fully matriculated marinated in the American culture. They are now the natural borns, and they are the true culture of this country. Those that have been fully marinated
They took an oath to the Constitution of the United States, and they would be loyal Americans. That's why
the founders wanted to have another generation of removal from the foreign country. They wanted a full generation of removal before they would have that person be the commander in chief of our military.
Yeah, Jeff Harrison,
second generation Americans.
Yeah. Jeff, are you on?
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I want to say thank you to both of you. I've gotten some of your stuff on the Internet and read them, and very educational, and thank you for the fight. Commander, I was one of the people that came to your hearing here in Pennsylvania, and I wish we would have had more. Basically, I would just like to say thank you, and just I would like to just get across, and if you would kind of expand on it, I think we need the audience and people to continue to write letters and make phone calls to our congressmen and media and whatever. I know it's an uphill battle. I know that they're not responsive. But Michael Jackson and I, he's a friend of mine, and we've been teaming up together and making phone calls and writing letters, and we're starting to get through to some people. Michael Jackson, a friend of mine, he said that the people are calling. So basically, I just would like to see if you'd support that idea a little bit and give us some tips on how to do it a little bit better. And basically, I want to get out of here so you guys can continue and educate us. And thank you very much.
Thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Jeff.
I met Jeff when I did my eligibility challenge, the ballot challenge in 2012, which was the second lawsuit I brought.
Well, his point is well taken. Of course, there's some of us like you and Mario, Charles, Mario, and myself have been in this for 7-8 years now, and we've written articles, we've spoken to groups, we've demonstrated, we've gone to court, we've done all sorts of things, and nothing happens. But I will say on this cruise situation, in my opinion, and you guys can weigh in after I finish my comment, I honestly believe that the hypocrisy of the media is playing to our benefit right now, because they're happy to crucify somebody on the right. I do believe the Cruz candidacy is fatally wounded. It's doomed. This issue is not going to go away. And I believe that it's an impersonal you, it's to whoever who's listening to this program. If you do call the Des Moines Register or some major news outlets in Iowa, like I have done, it is educating the people in the media that there's an element of people out here, constitutionalists, that don't pick sides. We're only on the side of the Constitution. We don't care whether we're going to go after somebody like Obama or somebody like Cruz or Rubio. The fact of the matter is you can educate the media, you can educate the newspapers, and concentrate on Iowa, because Iowa is critical for Cruz. If he doesn't win Iowa, he's not going any further. So I would strongly suggest. I've done it. I've emailed lots of information. So I suggest that somebody.
Isn't it wonderful, though, how we can educate the media now, but we weren't even allowed to get a voice out when it was Obama? And I've been at this since July 2008, and you couldn't even get the media to talk about it. Now
absolutely.
You can talk about it.
Well, the thing is that Obama's background was much more sinister than any person that's ever run for the presidency.
Absolutely, you're right.
We're going to take another call. This is Sarge. Wait a minute. That's wrong. I goofed up here. Hold on. There's two Sarges here.
Yeah, the one from Chicago is fantastic.
Sarge, you're on the air with Mario Apuzzo and Charles Kirshner.
Well, what an opportunity. I'm loving everything I'm hearing tonight. You gentlemen are cooking on all burners. I mean, you're informing the American people what's got to be said, whether they want to hear it or not. But except for one single thing I've heard tonight that I have a bit of exception. Give me about 45 seconds. I'll explain what I'm concerned about, what I heard tonight, and I'd like to hear your response to it. Okay, now, I understand a certain deference I just heard, and it's undoubtedly founded on a genuine concern, and that is to yield to postmodern feminist sensibilities by what the Honorable Counselor Mario Puzo said about the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. But in light of what the authors of the 14th Amendment, Senator Jacob Howard, Representatives Bingham, and what the Judiciary Chairman, Lyman Trumbull, said about natural-born citizen in relation to the 14th Amendment, I'm concerned about two things when we take this attitude, this somewhat peripheral or direct deference. One, the intent of Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, which I believe was to minimize the likelihood of baleful foreign influence on the office of president, particularly through a father owing allegiance to a foreign sovereignty. Now, like it or not, the framers were patriarchs. They believed the citizenship condition of the children followed that of the fathers. That's why they accepted the Vitellian notion. That's why the 212th paragraph is quoted in its entirety in the Venus Merchantman decision when Justice Livingstone described what a natural-born citizen was. This is not a, I don't believe anyway, this is a civil rights issue about who's got a right to run for presidency. It is a constitutional measure intended to protect the office of president. We've got to stress that, I think, to the almost the exclusion of everything else. It's not intended to let everybody be eligible to be president. It's intended to protect the president from a creature like Barack Obama. That's why we got him. We ignored it.
Agreed.
May I address
Let me. This is Gary again. I just want to make a quick comment, and I'll turn it over to you guys for comments. The fact of the matter is, Sarge, is that the media was complicit, and they hid Obama's background, and that was the thing that really was the fatal blow for us. We couldn't get past the media.
Oh,
and
I know that. I absolutely know that. But I'm just saying, look, we need to say, look, they have look the Article 2, Section 1 Clause 5 was adopted in 1789, right? Now it has not been amended by any amendment. You gentlemen correctly pointed out, it hasn't been modified by any amendment subsequent to that. So the original intent in 1789, the intention stands. Again, they were patriarchs, whether we like it or not. If we don't like it, let's amend it so that understanding no longer exists. As it stands now, the patriarchal nature of that provision means the father remember, it's only for President of the United States. It's only applied to 44 human beings in the history of the United States, period. Not everybody. Only 44 people. And
I think we agree with you, but the point Mario was making, if I can paraphrase it, was a due process clause could be used to determine if you were a citizen of the United States. Never did he argue that it was going to be used to make you a natural born.
Well, exactly. And the authors were quite clear, particularly Senator Jacob Howard, when he explained who was a natural born citizen, then the 14th Amendment in no way had any effect upon that.
Okay. If I may, okay. The point is this: to be a natural born citizen, you need a mother and father who are citizens. Now, the 14th Amendment is not going to do anything about that. So you misunderstood my point there. Okay. The only thing that the 14th Amendment does is if somebody says, because there are some people who say, oh no, it's just the father, and they read Vattel, they read parents, and then later on he says father. But they missed the point. The reason why he says father later on is because the citizenship was established by the father. It was patriarchal. And the wife automatically became a citizen, you know, when she married him, which was also the English common law and also in the United States. Okay, we have U.S. Supreme Court cases that clearly say that. It gives the whole history of that. If you read... which one is that now? Okay, anyway, it escapes me, but there's a case that goes through that, how we have this. It's called coverture, okay, in the common law. So you have to have two parents. So what I said about the 14th Amendment was, like Charlie said, okay, it could help you be a citizen. If somebody's going to say, oh, you have to be, you know, it has to be the father. Well, today it's either the father, the mother under equal protection. So, you know, we can't just say, oh, it's got to be the father. It's got to be the father and mother. So the 14th Amendment does not change the natural born citizen clause. So I agree with you, Sergeant. Its original definition, that's what it is. It didn't get changed by the 14th Amendment. It didn't get changed by the Cable Act of 1934. It is what it is, and that's
Cable
until you change
Act
it
was 22.
With an amendment.
Cable Act was 22.
34.
No, that wasn't the Cable Act. That was the naturalization.
1922 was the Cable Act.
And then the 34.
No, 34. Right. 34 is the Naturalization Act. The Cable Act was 1922. 22, was it?
I think.
Yeah. I'm going to take another call.
22, yeah.
I'm going to take another call. Neil Turner from California.
Semper Fi, Sarge. Semper Fi.
Neil, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here.
Neil Turner? Okay,
yes,
you're on
I'm
the air,
here.
Neil.
Good evening.
How are you?
And I'd like to add a point, if I may. I recently wrote to Senator Cruz And I said, and I posted it on his website because I used a Texas address where I have some family members living there. And it says that you are not a natural-born citizen of the U.S., and you know it. Our founders borrowed the definition from Battelle's Law of Nations, as referenced in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, and offenses against the Law of Nations. So the Law of Nations is codified in the Constitution.
That's a body of law, though, not a book. That's a body of law. But Battelle is the best on that body of law.
That's right. And I said these requirements are defined in the Law of Nations as those born in the country of parents who are citizens, those children naturally follow the condition of their fathers and succeed to all their rights, and the country of the fathers is therefore that of the citizens. But I would agree with what you say, that we couldn't argue that the fathers have more rights than mothers. But the
that would be a red herring, straw man type thing to try to make us look like fools. We're talking about the originalist meaning, understanding, and intent of that natural born citizen clause. And it's clear that they all were looking, Jay, Washington, Madison, all of them, Jefferson, they were reading the principles of natural law, the Law of Nations by Battelle. That was the treatise that they were looking to get the justification. George Washington cited it when he had that dispute with Spain over Florida. John Jay used it, what, in that case in New York, Mario? You know which one I'm talking about? John Jay used Battelle to win a case in New York, pre-colonial time case, but... John Jay
was it John Jay or was Hamilton?
Or maybe it was Hamilton that I'm thinking of. But they were
the Waddington. I forget now. The Worthington.
Okay,
they
want to forget. Battelle isn't even taught in constitutional law schools anymore because they want to forget Battelle. They want to fool us all. You know that Maskell, that attorney, that scoundrel. He didn't even mention the Venus case, 1814.
My point, gentlemen, if I may, that the Law of Nations is mentioned in the Constitution, and they can't throw that out. Obviously, that was the founding principle by which they wrote those terms. And I think it's more often when they say
that's
it's
a point
not
I cited before, Mr. Attorney, that to unite 13 independent states, independent nations, they had to look to a body of law called the Law of Nations to do it. They wrote the federal constitution using the body of law, the Law of Nations, and they even mentioned it in the constitution, as you so rightly point out.
And what I'm suggesting is that when they say it is not specified in the constitution, I would like to say, au contraire, that it is, because the Congress is supposed to operate and operate against any offenses against the Law of Nations, and I would contend that it is an offense against the Law of Nations to say that somebody is a natural-born citizen that doesn't comply with the requirements of the Law of Nations.
And the law of the natural law, the laws of nature, is mentioned in the preamble of the Declaration of Independence. So they look to natural law to do what they did.
Okay. Point taken.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you for your call, Neil. And we're going to go to another call. Jeff in Florida wants to talk about Cruz. Jeff?
Yes.
Jeff in Florida?
Gentlemen. Thanks for having me on, gentlemen. I just wanted to make two quick points. A lot of people that I work with know that I'm into this kind of birther movement, and they've asked me a lot of questions about Ted Cruz in the last couple of weeks. And the thing that I've posed to them every time was, what if Obama in 2007, when asked about his birth certificate, what if he presented an authentic Kenyan birth certificate? Everybody would have said he's disqualified, he can't be president. The whole premise of his whole thing that he wasn't eligible was because he was born outside of the country. And now everybody's pretending with Ted Cruz that it's okay. They're ignoring that the whole thing
they're
was
moving
Obama.
The bar. They're moving the bar. They keep
they're
moving
trying
the
to
bar,
the bar
further,
further,
and further
and further away from the actual
it's,
original.
It's an argument that's not correct, because if Obama was born out of the country, he doesn't qualify like Ted Cruz to be a citizen, because his mother was too young. So people don't realize that. They say, oh, the birthers are racist. you know, how come they you know, they went after Obama, and then they say, oh, well, look at Ted Cruz. He's born in Canada. He's good to go. How come Obama wasn't good to go? The point is that Obama's mother was too young. She was only 18 years
she
old.
She was 17, yeah, when she didn't meet that. She didn't meet the statute at the time.
Right, so that's
like
the difference. So nobody's a racist. You know, it's a different law. So that's the answer to your question.
Yes, and
we're not birthers, we're constitutionalists, the people you got to
exactly,
correct.
Exactly. You know, Ted Cruz, he says that it's a settled law that this has already been determined. Well, I would point Ted Cruz to, he's a senator, I would point him to senate.gov/civics, because if you look at the civics lesson that's on their website, it says that it's not settled law and that it hasn't been determined or reviewed by the Supreme Court specifically yet. So I would point Ted Cruz and Mark Levin to that.
I seen an old citizenship test somewhere, and that had a question, and the correct answer was born in the USA, who could be president. It's disappeared from that. I can't find it anymore. They're scrubbing.
Well, I'm talking about currently on the Senate website. It says that is not settled law. So Ted Cruz being a senator, he's being deceptive in doing that. But let me tell you what I think the grand plan here is. You know how Ted Cruz and Donald Trump were buddy-buddies through all the first debates? They weren't picking at each other. Now all of a sudden they're at each other's throat. I think this is a grand plan by them. To make one of the legal hurdles, I think he's doing it on purpose to make them define it to in the long run would give the birthers and Sheriff Joe more standing because Obama would be disqualified.
Nah, if that was true, Trump would spring suit immediately. He has standing. He could get this to the Supreme Court on an accelerated basis. He doesn't have to play a game like this. I don't think Trump
would
do anything.
There are already suits. There are already challenges.
Yeah, but not by a presidential candidate. Especially one who's a leading candidate.
Yeah, they would need the standing. And Trump said he's not going to bring the suit. That's what he said at the last debate.
Well, I heard him say it in debate, but I heard in the other day he said that he may have to do it. I think I heard him say that.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Jeff, but I want to move the show along. Thank you very much for calling. Apologize for cutting you off. With regard to Obama, obviously – big issue is the fact that he had forged documents too. That he never even proved any.
Correct.
He never proved where he was born. He never proved his citizenship.
Everything
he's
presented is in digital format. Digital format on the internet.
Right.
And
anything
in paper has been printed out from that.
Yeah. Those issues exacerbated the whole
right.
eligibility issue. And now we have Cruz who refuses to produce any proof that he's an American citizen or that his mother is an American citizen.
His mother voted in an election up there when only citizens of Canada can vote. They may be hiding that she naturalized too.
Are we not allowed to find out this information? That's ridiculous.
We are, and Cruz is doing exactly what Obama did: hiding, tap dancing, evading, and stalling.
Yes, he's very deceitful, and he should be called on it. That we need to put pressure on, even if he produced proof of his American citizenship or his mother's American citizenship, that wouldn't get him natural-born citizen status. But crying out loud, that's a start, isn't it? Show us that you're an American.
That's right. Show us the counselor's report of birth abroad. He refuses to do that. I don't think there is one. I don't think there is one.
No, I don't think there is either. I'm going to play another clip from Mark Levin. Here we go.
So the one remaining question is whether Ted Cruz was a citizen at birth. And that's an easy one. The Nationality Act of 1940 outlines which children became nationals and citizens in the United States at birth. In addition to those who were born in the United States or born outside the country to parents who were both citizens, are interestingly found in the United States without parents and no proof of birth elsewhere. That would be people from Mars, I think. Citizenship goes to babies born to one American parent who has spent a certain number of years here. That single-parent requirement has been amended several times, but under the law, in effect between 1952 and 1986, Cruz was born in 1970, someone must have a citizen parent who resided in the United States for at least 10 years, including 5 after the age of 14, in order to be considered a natural-born citizen. Cruz's mother, Eleanor Dara, was born in Delaware. Is Delaware part of America? I think so. Lived most of her life in the United States and gave birth to little Rafael Edward Cruz in her 30s. So why all the brouhaha about where Obama was born, given that there's no dispute that his mother, Ann Dunham, was a citizen?
Your comments.
Doesn't say, the law does not say considered as a natural born citizen. It says considered as a citizen. Correct, Mario?
The law is it's 1952 statute. It says you're a citizen of the United States. Now, if we go back to Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, it clearly distinguishes between a citizen of the United States and a natural born citizen. If you want to try to be president when you're just a citizen of the United States, then you have to have that status at the time of the adoption of the Constitution. However, if you weren't living then and you're living today, you're out of luck. You got to be a natural-born citizen. First of all, Congress can only make citizens. It can't make natural-born citizens. So Mark Levin is completely off referring to a naturalization statute, which, number one, can only make you a naturalized citizen. Number two, which on its face, textually, doesn't even mention a natural-born citizen. The last time Congress mentioned a natural-born citizen was in 1790, and we already talked about that. In 1795, Madison and Washington told us, no, not a natural-born citizen, a citizen of the United States. And Congress has never again brought that particular statute back, you know, in that form. So Mark Levin is completely off. And then he says, oh, it's a settled issue. The State Department in the Foreign Affairs Manual, 7FAM1131.6-2, okay, right there, the State Department, and now the courts give deference to agencies, state, you know, government agencies who are given the power to interpret statutes and regulations. Now, the State Department, I would say, is qualified to interpret naturalization and immigration statutes. Okay, so the court would give deference to a government agency. That government agency says that it's never been determined by a court. Okay, whether a person born abroad is eligible for you know, to be president, and there's a doubt about it, because being a natural born citizen under the Constitution is one thing, and being what they say natural born citizen. I mean, it's not really natural born citizen under a statute. It's your
citizen at birth.
Yeah, the citizen at birth is another. The State Department says that. Okay, and then plus there's a ton of information. I mean, even the Black's Law Dictionary says. The natural born citizen clause, the clause to exclude anybody who's not born in the United States from being president. It's right in the Black's Law Dictionary under, I forget what edition it is. But, I mean, it goes on and on and on. So, you know, it's no settled law. You don't choose.
Mario, what's also interesting about all these naturalization statutes, I referred to the rich history of American naturalization laws. They started back in 1790, and they've gone up to, you know, 2012 or whatever. These laws that naturalize where they say that somebody is natural born they're a natural born citizen at birth. Well, they all have contingencies attached to them. They all have residency requirements, and some of those residency requirements. Are not necessarily perfected for several months or even years. So, I mean, it's a misnomer to say that just because you're naturally born at birth, you still have to jump through these hoops of these residency requirements.
Hey, Gary.
You're absolutely correct. And here's something that you're really going to enjoy, okay? Take the Act, 1952 Act, okay? Now, the Belli case. Okay, that particular case interpreted the 1952 Act. Okay, what happened there was that if you don't, you can be a citizen of the United States. Okay, if you were born abroad, but you had to come back. You had to come back to the United States, and you had to reside here for between, I forget what the years are, between 14 and 25 or something. You had to like reside. I think it was like 5 years or so. What happened was that Belli never came back. And he never, you know, perfected his citizenship using that term. But he was a citizen, okay? He was born a citizen. But now here's the beauty of it.
You say he was born eligible? He was born eligible to be a citizen.
No, he was born a citizen. He was born a citizen. But then what happens is with a condition, it's called a condition subsequent, okay, which means that you could have something and then later on lose it. It's called the condition subsequent.
Congress, that's a key point. You can lose naturalized citizen. You can't lose natural born.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying, okay? So,
right.
You know, that's the beauty of this, okay? How can you be a natural born citizen, and which Belle Isle would have been, and so Cruz, okay, because it's the same statute, and then Congress takes it away from you? Takes it away, and now all of a sudden you're not a citizen. That's what happened to Belli. He lost
right.
his citizenship. That could never happen to a natural-born citizen. So the whole thing's a hoax. It's a farce. It's
Gary,
a hoax.
Listen, I have a little
Gary,
trivia question for you. I have a
before
trivia
you go
question
off the
for
trivia,
you.
Before you do that, I just wanted to put a warning out. They scrubbed all of Minor versus Happersett when we were battling Obama. I just saw something out today on the Internet. It's unbelievable. They've taken the Title 8, Section 1401, and changed the word natural. Change the word national to natural. They're circulating that law as the real thing.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, my God.
There are crew spots out there posting links to that law. They changed the word national to the system.
Yeah,
the following are.
Yeah,
natural.
Yeah,
the word national to natural. The following are natural citizens.
No, that cannot be. That cannot be because nationals are not necessarily citizens.
I know,
so
but they changed.
That can't be.
They've rewritten the law, and they're circulating it as fact.
But who rewrote the law?
This
cruise
boat. I saw it posted in the WND site.
But who rewrote the law? Who?
It's a fraud. Just like they took all citations of Minor versus Happersett out of the Justia database. Remember that, Mario? They scrubbed all the, you know, Donna Friel found the Justia gate. They took any reference to Minor versus Happersett out of that public website that you couldn't find it.
Okay, here's something I wanted to throw out there. And, you know, keep in mind the Cruz-Levin definition of a natural-born citizen. It's not going to be a trivia question. It's just going to be sort of a question at large. Can a child born outside the United States claim U.S. citizenship by birth through a U.S. citizen parent who has never lived in the United States prior to that child's birth?
Physical presence.
1927, Whedon v. Chin Bao, the Supreme Court issues a ruling clarifying the inability. This goes back to residency requirements, you know, the details in the law. The Supreme Court issues a ruling clarifying the inability of a U.S. citizen to transmit citizenship to a child born abroad if the parent has never lived in the United States prior to the birth of the child abroad. This is still the rule today.
Yeah, that was 1790 they established that, where you had to have residency. Now they've changed it to physical presence. It's like a little different, you know. But even we just talked about that with, you know, the age. Obama's mother was not old enough because she wasn't – you know, you got to have physical presence here. But anyway, so no, the answer is no. You got to be. In the old days, it was residency. Today, it's physical presence.
Okay, let me ask you both a question. You can both answer. It's a loaded question. Okay, it's a really loaded question, and I just want to hear your response. I have my own theories and everything.
Is it nine millimeters or a 40 caliber? What is it? 9 millimeters.
Well, I'll say 9 millimeter then. Why did Mark Levin cover for Obama? And let me finish the question. Why did he cover for Obama when, in fact, now carrying the water for Cruz, he points to statutes all the time? He could have pointed to a statute as a constitutionalist and a legal scholar and pointed out the fact that his mother wasn't of age to pass citizenship, regardless of whether we had proof of his birthplace or his parentage or whatever. Why is Mark Levin doing this now with Ted Cruz? Why is he staking his reputation with such a tenuous
argument?
I'll
go first. Because all the establishment and Mark, despite maybe people don't think he is, but they're all these people are trying to abrogate the constitutional eligibility clause. The Republicans have been trying, and the Democrats have been trying by changing that in by laws and stuff. They had them in committees in Congress for the last 10 or 15 years. They all failed. So now they just want to just talk it away. And I think Mark Levin is part of that crowd. They want to run the political sexy candidates like Cruz and Rubio, you know, to appeal to the recent immigrants and all the other people that whether going to vote legally or illegally. He's part of that crowd that wants to abrogate the true meaning of Article 2. He claims he's a constitutionalist, but he's part living constitutionalist when he's doing that. That's my opinion. So he wants to just weaken the Article 2 eligibility clause so that he can run the guy he likes, just like the lefties want to run the guy they like, Obama.
I don't think he would be doing this if this was, say, a Bernie Sanders running. Bernie was born in Canada and was born to a Cuban mother, would he? I don't think he'd be on that bandwagon.
Well, he did it for Obama,
and
Obama was as much
answer.
A communist as Bernie Sanders.
I have a more simple answer.
Okay.
The thing is that Obama was said to be born in the United States, so you use the 14th Amendment. So it was easy for Levin to say, hey, he's born in the United States, end of story, don't bother me, okay? With Cruz, there's no doubt that he's born in Canada, so he's got to do, you know, go through these gyrations about the 1952 Act and the 1790 Act, and he's got to do all that, which is all false, as we've shown. So that's the difference, you know,
Let me throw this out to you, though, and I appreciate exactly the point of views you both represented, but it's more confounding for so many of us that have been in this fight. Why does somebody, and I think I know the answer, it's they're beholden to their employers and they want to sell books and everything like that. Why doesn't a guy like a Levin have the integrity to step up to a microphone and say, you know what? I've researched the Arpaio press conferences. I've looked at the documentation. I say, you know, there's nothing here. We've got fraudulent identity documents. You know what I mean? I mean, we never went down that road with anybody in the media. Anybody on the right, so to speak, never went down that road with us.
They know the answer to the question. They're afraid to go there. They won't. If the Congress or the major media would have really took Arpaio and ran with it, we'd be rid of Obama.
Well, you know, my contention is that Ted Cruz's best chance to be president of the United States was to have called a press conference years ago and said, you know, I'm very flattered by the followers that, you know, would like me to run for president in 2016 or whatever, but here's the deal. I'm not a natural-born citizen, and lay it all out there, and thereby exposing Obama. And then maybe somewhere down the line, the American people would, you know, amend the Constitution perhaps, and maybe he could become president. But he ain't going to be president. I can trust you. You can trust me on that.
Ted Cruz is controlled by big money behind him. It's clear to me now. I used to like the guy, but now I think he's trying to use. He's going to ignore the Constitution to save the Constitution. I don't respect the man at all anymore.
I agree, Charlie. You know, after what he did here, and then he pulls this breathing fresh air thing. You know, that was his thing. You know, I've never breathed air than when I wasn't a U.S. citizen. Well, heck, you never breathed air when you were a Canadian citizen also.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, it's...
I have
that's
another
the point.
Call for you.
You can't be born a dual citizen and be the president and commander of our military. I, as a retired military officer, I would not want to take orders from a person with allegiance to two or three countries when they're born. I want a person
Absolutely.
Who gives me orders to go to battle and maybe lose my life, have sole allegiance of this country, sole allegiance to this country, unity of citizenship, dual citizen,
We don't need cheaters, that's for sure. We have Judy on the line, guys. Judy, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say thank you guys for everything that you're doing to bring this to light. I never in my wildest dreams thought we would even be having to have these conversations. But here we are. I just wanted to throw out today an update. I am in Florida. I had a meeting today with my congressional representative asking him to please file the articles of impeachment.
What was his name, Judy? Give us his
Bill
name.
Posey.
Okay.
So I went with Barbara Patey of the North American Law Center. We went today. She asked him, do you believe that treason is an impeachable offense? Mr. Posey said, yes, I do. She said, what are you going to do about it? He said, nothing. But we had a nice conversation. We talked to him. By the end of the conversation, he gave us a little tidbit. I don't know if you want to call it that or not. If we can get six Democrat senators to cross the aisle and support the articles, he will file them. He said that in front of witnesses.
Well, that's like a impossible challenge he gave you.
It is,
Another excuse not to do it because he gave you a task that's never going to happen.
Yeah. Well,
if we can't get six so-called Freedom Caucus or Tea Party Caucus people to do it, how are we going to get the far-left controlled Democrats to do it?
Well, we're going to look into it, and there might be another way around it.
At least you tried.
Yep.
They tried to bury this so-called birther issue almost eight years ago, and they haven't been able to. It's like sitting on a beach ball. The truth will surface. They can't keep it down. We did not go away, and the problem is still here, and we're going to keep talking about it until they stop ignoring the Constitution.
That's right. Okay. Well,
thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's my contention, and I know you guys, I've said this before, either in writing or out on the airwaves, it's my contention that if they would just introduce articles of impeachment in the House of Representatives, as the evidence comes forward, it would be so compelling, shocking, overwhelming. I absolutely maintain that Barack Obama would resign because he could not withstand the scrutiny.
He would resign. He'd skip the country, Gary.
Absolutely, he would leave the country. I'm sure there's an exit plan if anything like that were to happen. I'm sure he's had an exit plan from day one, but he's feeling pretty comfortable since he's in the eighth year now. He feels pretty bulletproof. He's pretty smug.
Gary, I'd like to make another point back on the natural born citizen issue.
Sure, absolutely.
And it's a very, very important point. I think it really is the one of the keys to the whole thing, and it's very simple, and it's the key. Okay. If you look at the Naturalization Acts, okay, 1790, 1795, 1802, 1804, 1855, okay, if you look at all of them, Congress treated children born in the United States to alien parents as aliens and in need of naturalization, okay, number one, which tells you right there that the English common law was not the rule that Congress used. Okay. In other words, if you're born in the United States, alien parents, you're an alien. It's right in the statutes.
That would be Rubio.
Oh yeah, Rubio, Jindal, and Nikki Haley too. They're having to give that State of the Union response. I mean, what's that about? Are they going to tell us that she's going to run for vice president or something? She's not eligible.
That's what it's about. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah,
that
she's
was
not
about.
Eligible.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, number one, number two. Those we just went through this now with these acts. If you're born out of the United States, to citizen parents, you're just a citizen, and you need naturalization. You need naturalization. So what does that tell you? That tells you that the only children that Congress did not act upon, that did not see a need to naturalize, were children born in the United States to citizen parents. There's your answer. There's your natural-born citizen, okay? Now, nobody wants to hear about this argument. Nobody wants to address it. I've even put this in my briefs to the courts. They've never touched it. Okay? I mean, they don't touch hardly anything. They just tell you don't have standing.
It's not a minor class of people.
That's your natural born citizen right there. It's proven. It's proven by the early Congress.
Right.
Again, Madison, framers, founders, Washington. That's it. That's your answer as to what a natural born citizen is.
And that's our largest class, Mario, right? Most people in this country are natural born. 85% are natural born.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying that's your answer to what a natural born citizen is. It's right in the Naturalization Acts, okay,
right.
Which confirms Vattel. because Vattel said born in the country, the citizen parents, those are the only children Congress did not naturalize through its Naturalization Act. That's ironclad proof, ironclad.
Right.
Okay. Well, you remember I mentioned earlier in the program that if for anybody that's serious about objectively figuring this all out, all they got to do is look at what I call the rich history of American naturalization law. It's all explained right there. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it was always dealing with problems like born out of the country, non-citizen parents. All that rich history was defining who was a citizen when you were born because you had some sort of non-natural born status. So therefore, they had to make a law to they wanted to make more and more citizens, more and more citizens.
Yep.
But they can't. The only way you can make more and more natural born citizens is to make citizens who then have children. They're natural born.
Okay, we have another phone call. Nova Rock, you're on. With Charles Kirschner and Mario Puzo. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Hey, one of the things that, you know, I wrote about, and I wrote, Charles, where this thing got posted, is, you know, these pundits between Levin, Hannity, Rush, they're all using U.S. code.
Right.
When did U.S. code supersede the Constitution, for one? And, you know, the second thing when it comes to the Cruz is, you know, I've been posting on my blog since March on Ted Cruz, is we need
What's your blog name? I mean, what is it?
NoBarack08.wordpress.com.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I think needs to be done is, you know, as I explain this started with Barack Obama. We've woken up a lot of people. We now have a lot more people involved that know what the hell is going on, and that's why there's now more people fighting against the, you know, ineligible Ted Cruz. And one of the things that I do, and I really recommend, is for people to actually use his real name, Raphael. You know, Ted is sort of Americanizing him. You know, he needs to be his name.
No, I totally disagree with that because they want to use his Spanish name to try to paint us as racist.
Yeah, you're right.
Let him paint him as.
So that's a completely, you know, I totally disagree with that. You know, the Obots will call him Raphael, and they say, look, they don't want anybody of color. You know, he's Cuban, he's brown or whatever. You know, Barack Obama was black, and they play that. So his name is Ted, okay? Let's not get into this race stuff nationalities and all that sort of thing.
Is a personal choice. You know, one of the things inside of here is his ineligibility. And as a matter of fact, I just posted, you know, and I wrote to someone else who's very well known in the circles, and he was debating one of the news media on television, on radio rather, about you know, and he got baited once again about Obama being born in Hawaii. And one of the things that I wrote to him is, you know, a comeback for
you mean
that
Dr. Corsi? You're talking about Dr.
Yeah.
Corsi?
Yeah, and the reason.
Yeah, well,
he
used the 1790 statute incorrectly, and I wrote to him and say, "What are you doing, citing that as a standard?
So
it's a repealed law."
My point, Charles, is this. Is that for the past several years, the media and the GOP have been attempting to legitimize Barack Obama's eligibility by his so-called birth in Hawaii. That being the case, Ted Cruz wasn't even born in the United States. How do you reconcile that?
Mario made that point earlier. They've had to change the argument
absolutely.
Now for Ted.
See, and I think that's where, like I said, we have more people that have woken up inside here, which is the reason why the past several weeks when Trump has gone on this, why the crowds are doing what they're doing. People are fed up.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right about the law of this nation. The laws are not being followed. Fast and furious.
Right.
Take a look at what they just found out, a 50 caliber at Guzman's hideout that was from Fast and Furious.
And Hillary has above top secret, you know, no foreign eyes, you know, this SAP, where the methods and the people and methods are actually disclosed. That was on her private server, above top secret.
Now, Commander.
The show's only got 10 minutes left. Maybe you should ask a question.
I got one thing.
Regarding natural-born citizen.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you guys are dead on the money, in fighting Cruz, and which is the reason why I am. And I just want to say thank you for your effort and, for staying in as long.
Because we're constitutionalists. It doesn't matter what party he is.
That's
we're constitutionalists.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks for your call, Rock. Appreciate
Gary,
all the work you've
got.
Yeah.
Gary, will you give us a chance to put out our websites and blogs before the
show's
over? Mario's and mine. So maybe Mario wants to put his out now.
Absolutely. I've got it in my notes here. Absolutely. Yep.
All right.
We'll get it out real quick now. It's mine is puzo1.blogspot.com. Puzo1.blogspot.com.
And Commander Christian,
hold on, Mario. That's P-U-Z-O, the number one, not the word one.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah, P-U-Z-O, the number one, .blogspot.com.
Very good.
And
Charles?
Commander Kirchner here. Mine is CDR, and that CDR is like the abbreviation for Commander. CDR Kirchner. My last name, all one word, cdrkirchner.wordpress.com, cdrkirchner.wordpress.com. And then my website is protectourliberty.org, protectourliberty.org. Thank you, Gary.
Very good. Sure, very good. I wasn't going to leave you guys out in the cold. I had you covered.
Right.
That's good. You got the information out. Let's see. First of all, let me see if I have any other phone calls because it's always nice if you can clear the board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe there are no other phone calls in the queue right now.
Lines are open,
that
folks. Call in.
Yeah,
call in.
I would like to throw this out to you, J.B. Williams. And we can't get bogged down in this because this can get very deep and we don't have a lot of time and I have to have closing remarks. But do you guys want to check in on the fact that JB just came out with an essay where he says there's five competing definitions of natural born citizen, and he does not subscribe necessarily to what is called the birther definition. He subscribes to, I believe, the father passing citizenship,
because
the coverture.
He's only on the father-only period, and he ignores the 212, the explicit definition that Vattel says what a natural-born citizen is, and then continues on to talk about the importance of the father because of coverture. The mother already always followed the father, and Vattel talk about the father, and implied is he's including the mother because by coverture, the mother was always the same citizen as the father. So he focuses only on the father, and for that reason, I think he's wrong. It's born in the country of two citizen parents.
The U.S. Supreme Court has always said parents, parents. Even on Kenny, funny, I'm citing on Kenny. They said that minor only foresaw scenarios where both parents were either citizens or aliens, both parents. I mean, if you read Vattel, throughout his book, he talks about the mother and father. So, and then when he gives his definition, it's parents.
Yeah,
only
cool.
Later on does he say father.
And JB shouldn't ignore that sentence. He does. He talks about the rest of that paragraph and ignores that explicit sentence.
Yeah, it's both parents. That also doesn't make sense from a standpoint of the purpose of the Natural Born Citizen Clause, which is to keep foreign influence out of the office
exactly.
of President, Commander in Chief. If you let
exactly.
one, if one parent is an alien, you have the same effect as if both parents were alien, because
right.
the child through jus sanguinis inherits a full citizenship and a full allegiance to a foreign nation, the same as
mm-hmm.
if the both parents were aliens. So it doesn't make any sense
yeah.
to say just
so
the
if,
father.
So if Ted Cruz was born in Canada to a citizen father and a non-citizen mother, JB would say he's eligible, I guess.
Right.
You got dual allegiance at birth, dual allegiance, and that's the reason they chose natural born, to avoid multiple allegiances. They want a sole allegiance to the USA. I got to
right.
keep emphasizing that. Sole allegiance to be
right.
commander in chief
right.
for the
right.
military.
And there's no such thing as one citizen father and mother in history. They were together as one. It was unity
yep.
of husband and wife and unity of children. The whole family was one unit, and they were either
right.
aliens or they were citizens.
That's natural law.
Right.
Right. But by the way, I want to point out, in fairness to Mark Levin, that some of those audio clips that I had queued up tonight, I neglected to mention that he was reading a study by the Cato Institute. Now, he's reading the words of somebody else, but he's reading them with the intent that he agrees with them. And I will also point out that he has read that same report on multiple occasions on his radio program. So it was not a case of me necessarily misrepresenting Levin's words. He was endorsing those words. So I just want to make that very clear.
It isn't just guys like Levin and that are misquoting what a natural born citizen is. That even the Conservative Union and the Heritage Society, they're all like in the tank to ignore the real meaning of Article 2. I wrote to all of them when I was going after Obama. Not a one would lend support. All these so-called constitutional organizations. Even Hillsdale College would not come to my help.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to play one last clip of Mark Levin, and I'm going to give each of you 30 seconds to respond because then I need to do the closing remarks. So just listen to this. I might as well take advantage of the fact that I've got this clip to play. I'll give you each 30 seconds to respond, and then I'll do my closing remarks. Thank you.
And the way I interpret it is his mother's an American citizen. So he's an American citizen. That's not a constitutional issue. That's an interpretive issue. Or a statutory issue if Congress has passed some law subsequent to that to enforce that provision of the Constitution. So the face of the Constitution isn't terribly helpful.
Congress doesn't enforce the Constitution.
Gary,
and the way I interpret it is his mother's an American citizen.
Listen.
So he's an American citizen.
Oh, okay.
I'm playing the rest.
That's
not a
constitutional
issue.
That's not within the Constitution, American citizen.
That's an interpretive issue. Or a statutory issue if Congress has passed some law subsequent to that to enforce that provision of the Constitution. So the face of the Constitution isn't terribly helpful.
You don't pass laws to enforce the Constitution. The Constitution is the force of law, the highest law. And he said that he's born an American citizen. That's not what Article 2 says. You got to be born a natural born citizen. The guy is so off base. It's
yeah.
He's a disgrace. He's a disgrace.
First of all, if the Constitution is clear textually, that's it. Oh, that's the end of it. Okay, but with natural-born citizen, it doesn't define it. Now, never, 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 never do we go outside it. If the common law helps us, okay, because the U.S. Supreme Court has looked to common law. With a natural-born citizen, it's American national common law, not a statute, because the statute does nothing but naturalize people. So you don't use a naturalization statute to enforce. If anything, you can use it as evidence, contemporaneous evidence, as to what the founders believed. What I was saying before, that it rules
right.
out a natural, you know, a child born in the country, the citizen parents. So Mark Levin is completely wrong that he's using a naturalization act to what he calls enforce the Constitution. You know, that's completely off.
One more quick point,
all right,
point
guys,
Gary.
All right, guys.
Real quick.
I got two.
The Federalist
Papers
says that the Constitution was written in everyday language understandable to everybody so they would adopt it. So they knew what it meant because they wrote it in language for the people at that time.
Yeah. All right, guys. So we got to sign off here. I got to give some closing remarks. I cannot thank you guys enough. It was a you don't have to run yet. It was a great conversation. And once again, quickly tell us your blogs, real quick.
Okay, mine is Puzo. That's P-U-Z-O. the number 1.blogspot.com.
And mine is C-D-R Kirchner. C-D-R Kirchner. K-E-R-C-H-N-E-R. C-D-R Kirchner.wordpress.com.
Okay, great job, guys. Thanks a lot. Well, that'll do it for tonight. I would like to thank my guest, Commander Charles Kirchner, and Attorney Mario Puzo.
Retired.
Mario Puzo for their time this evening. And, of course, thank them for their tireless efforts to educate the American people about the Constitution and the meaning and the intent of the Founding Fathers. And thank you for everyone that listening out there on WOBC Blog Talk Radio. I thought it was a terrific discussion tonight. We got a lot of information out there, and thanks to all the callers. And please tell your friends and family.
I challenge Mark Levin to put Mario on with him.
I know. Remember that you can listen to this show and past shows on WOBC podcast available online. My thanks to Mike Flynn for inviting me to host the program. Thanks, Ed, for call screening, and thanks to all who took time to listen and call in. Remember, I'll be back again tomorrow evening with my friend George Miller as my guest host. Our guest will be a mutual friend, Jeff Lichter. Jeff was an original member of the Surprise Tea Party, and we'll talk about the investigation of Obama and Jeff going to meet Donald Trump in 2011. This is Gary Wilmot signing off from the bankrupt People's Socialist Democratic Republic of California in the undivided states of Obama land. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Gary, you there?
Don't let those other guys make your family share data. Switch to T-Mobile now and get four lines with up to 6 gigs each of 4G LTE data. Just $30 a line and no sharing. So ditch your data worries and switch to the Un-carrier today. Get to T-Mobile or call 1-800-T-MOBILE.
Limited time offers plus taxes and fees. Capable device required. Coverage not available in some areas. See store for details.